Incoming transmission.
Yes, welcome back to the Agony Booth. Look, we're in high def in the background, and we are not alone. We are joined by two amazing people this week. I'm Captain Joe Dove. I'm the co-host of the Captain's Quadrant. And with me, as always, on the corner this time, he decided to take a new position, Jason Roy Gaston. Welcome back, and welcome back to...
I literally had nothing to do with this position. You put baby in the corner.
Oh, I mean, I could move it around, but I don't want to ruin it just in case I do it wrong. So
whatever.
Let's be on the bottom, buddy.
I want to welcome back to the Captain's Quadrant and welcome to the Agony Booth for the first time. We've got David Jones, background actor from Star Trek, Strange New Worlds, and we've got the amazing Michael Chen from Star Trek Discovery, who's also an Insta meme. Oh my goodness. What is going on, guys? Welcome back to the Captain's Quadrant. What's new?
Thanks for having me back. And it's nice to see David on here too.
Yes. There is a small connection between the two of you. You guys, I heard, are both Canadian. Isn't that amazing?
They are.
Yes, yes. And you both had the luxury of being on every podcaster that the Star Trek's dream is being actually in Star Trek. You guys are both lucky enough not to be in an Agony Booth worthy episode, so congrats. And did you guys ever like bump into each other on set, or because is it the same set for both shows, or is it like
I'm pretty sure you guys are on in a different place, because Disco is in Pinewood. Mm-hmm. But I think we share the holodeck. That's the only set that we actually shared, because they, you know, there's only one giant screen thing over here in Ontario. But other than that, yeah, like the bridges are on different sites.
Oh wow!
I did actually have to go when I was doing ADR for Disco. I got all my COVID tests over at the Strange New Worlds COVID testing center. So, I mean, for all I know, because I was like, even before I met Dave, I'm like, his face is like oddly familiar, and if it's not so stuff, it's probably because you were probably getting your test the same day I was. I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, hey, you never know. Maybe you two shared a swab without knowing.
Yeah, it. Who knows? Both have the
same nosy nasal. Oddly sensual there, buddy.
You know, so the bridge was.
So the bridge was there.
Yeah,
we're causing people agony already.
Yes. We're gonna go say quick hellos to our friends that are in the chat. It's good to see some of our folks, especially my mom, Space Mom. That bastard space alien stole my muumuu. By the way, my parents would have knocked that muumuu thief and those brat kids into the next galaxy. There weren't many strict child abuse laws in the 1960s America.
Oh my god.
Hello, Aaron Sugar. It's been a while. Good to see you here. Kind of hard not to be in the corner when you have four guys. Wow. So many jokes today. And our buddy, the Chief Ernesto, he's the co-host of the Console Room. Canadians, they are really nice. And of course, Jack, what's up, buddy? And he says, oh, Canada. Yes, this is a Canadian.
So, David, well, you're going to Fan Expo, right?
I will be there.
Sweet. So that's two unnamed ops officers heading to Fan Expo this end of August.
Oh, neat.
So and I'll probably be in my Star Trek cosplay. So if you guys want to get autographs from two Canadian Star Trek's minor celebrities, then come on over to Fan Expo Toronto in August.
All right. Let's get those pens ready and those selfie sticks, because, boy, it's going to be a lot of fun up in Canada. Let us then hop into the Agony Booth and let us start with the synopsis. Jason, are you ready?
I am ready. I was born ready.
All right, here we go.
What font is this?
It's terrible. What?
This is awful. Hold on. Season 3, Episode 4, And the Children Shall Lead. The Enterprise reaches a Federation colony where the adults have all been killed themselves. Good Lord, this font. But oh, the children play without care. Okay, you know what this looks like? Please put on your 3D glasses now.
It does kind of have that. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I feel like I've been upcharged $5 just to be on the show.
I'm so in trouble just from watching that episode. I hate all of you right now. I regret agreeing to this.
Oh man.
You work in these conditions. Okay.
Hey, listen, buddy. I wake up every morning hating myself. You're already too late.
Oh. Well, without further ado, let's hop into WTF. Did we just watch? I can't find my glasses, so I'm going to go and throw to one of our guests. We'll start with Michael. Well, WTF, did we just watch?
An episode that I wish I didn't have to rewatch, and that when I watched it, my wife, who had never seen it, even though she's a pretty big Trekkie, had wished she still had never seen it, and she regrets it. And the only saving grace is that she was also playing a video game while watching on her laptop. So, like, this episode is
hard.
It's hard because, okay, the premise alone is difficult because, like, how many spoilers are we gonna
want? No, go. I have some spoilers. It's a 60-year-old or 57-year-old show, man. We're good.
No, I'm just saying, I don't know. Are you guys going to go bit by bit or whatever? But
who has summoned me?
I am here. We shall rule the galaxy.
I was in the middle of a haircut. I was in the shower. The only closet near me was my grandmother's. I apologize.
Nobody in this episode acted normal.
No, that's right.
Or alien or anything. Everyone's decision making was stupid. And when you're going to have an episode where the actual solution would be taking out a phaser and phasing a bunch of kids, but you cannot do that on television, you have to write circles around it and have everybody make the dumbest ass decisions. And I cannot believe someone thought this was a good idea.
Give me my moo-moo. Now there.
Also, what is this? Why are the kids doing this every time they control people? Oh my god, that is so wrong.
Rock, scissor, paper. All right, Jesus.
Why are making kids do that?
The preteen just couldn't stop the whole time. It was just.
And like, where did Kirk become Picard with his hatred of children right at the start? That look he gives, and the kids are dancing around him. He's like. And he spends the entire episode doubting them. And then all of a sudden, when it comes time to actually do something, he's like, no, think of the kids. I can't do anything. And then the kids don't even try to control him until it's, I don't know, convenient for the writing.
Yes.
And Spock is not affected on the planet, but then is affected on the ship. And also, like, the planet part where they went into a cave and said there was a spot on it where it was like, oh, no, I feel something here. They never explored again, so what the hell? And then the big moo-moo guy is defeated because what? Words? What is he? Pennywise? What the hell?
Oh, man, yeah. Yeah, all right, Jason Roy Caston.
Sorry. Oi. So, how can I follow that? My gosh. This episode is horrid. It is just, it takes the unholy trinity. It takes characters acting out of character. It takes a bad payoff and kids and mashes them all into one nearly unwatchable ball of just absolute garbage. Now, the thing is, though, this could have been a great episode if they had gone a little darker with it. if Gorgon had been not some guy in a muumuu, if he had been something truly, you know, evil, or maybe even something close to Pennywise, where he's just this dancing clown, and then if you turn your back on him, he's like swallowing you. I don't know. I saw the potential here, but it was all squandered because they just, I don't even want to say they played it safe. I think they actually thought they were doing something here, and it was just awful. Plus, can we please talk about the way that Shatner planted that UFP flag?
You know, and the little kid just knocked it over.
Yeah, just not, well, the fact that he obviously missed the mark and he had to hold it. I mean, good on Shatner for covering. Good on, but I could not unsee it. I just thought that was. And the funny thing is, I watched Full Moon by accident in December, and they did the same thing in that movie too.
Oh wow!
She goes down to plant a flag, and she misses her mark, so she has to sit there and hold it and pretend like she didn't miss the mark. So yeah, Rebel Moon, Star Trek. There's a thing right there. But yeah, there's some fascinating, a very fascinating, interesting tidbit about this movie, about this episode. I will get into later because it's fun.
I have another interesting tidbit about this, and that comes from The Good Chief. So if you say it, I'll let you take it. But it has something to do with the Moomoo Monster. But we'd like to hear from our good buddy, David Jones, STSNW actor.
I Mike, if you like it, it broke you this episode. It's an hour of your life you're never going to get back.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. For me, I thought this was a lot of fun. It was so bad. It was good. It was kind of like watching The Room. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that movie. It's like William Shatner was almost as bad as the main guy.
Tommy Wiseau.
It's like, children, you're tearing me apart, children. It was so funny. And I love the talk about out of place, the Moomoo Monster. There are several sections of this character where doesn't cover his hair. It like covers it, and then sometimes it doesn't cover it. It was just like, wait, who's in charge of this? Like, that should always be consistent at least. But I am sure they had an absolute blast. And we got to see our good buddy Nurse Chapel give children some ice cream. And Captain Kirk like, F them kids. They don't deserve no ice cream. They killed everybody on that planet. So I thought that was a lot of fun seeing these little tidbits. But somebody had mentioned it in the chat that there was a missed opportunity. And of course, there was one. And we're going to go play that bumper. Yes, there was a massive missed opportunity because I like the bumper. It's cool. There could have been like the cave thing that Michael brilliantly brought up earlier. There was an opportunity to have the like physical corporeal body of that Moomoo Monster in the cave, and they would stumble on it, and then they have to destroy the body, and then the kids would be safe. Like, that could have been a dope episode. But they just missed that opportunity and just said, nah, let's just do the cheesy special effects. What about, pay no attention to the cave thing. Let's just keep moving. So, yeah, we missed out. So, let's just hop into the clip that came from this episode.
There's nothing there.
No, Captain, there's all these swords. There's swords everywhere. I
like that effect.
I thought that was
really cool.
Did anybody... a screensaver. It was awesome.
It was a screensaver, but it looked good.
Yeah. I just reminded me of like those advanced kaleidoscopes that when you held up and you'd see all the like little, that's what it reminded
Except
me.
Except this one stabs you in the eye over and over and over again. It's like a virtual boy from Nintendo.
I can't turn away. All right, Dave, we're going to start with you. Why would they do that? Why do you think they did it?
They had so many bangers throughout, you know, the original series. I guess they were destined to have an okay episode, a stinker at best. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Michael.
Oh boy. Why? I legitimately think they thought they did something. I don't really know what the message really is. I think it has something to do with kids and parents, even though at the end of the episode, for God's sakes, it's okay, kids. It's gonna be okay. I'm like, dude, they essentially caused the death of their parents. But anyways, I think they're trying to make a point about I guess certain types of leaders taking advantage of people who are unable to fully comprehend the damage that they're doing and the harm to society, whatever. It's a very convoluted way to use innocent children and then, you know, an alien conqueror. But I that's what I think. I think they legitimately are trying to make us see a parallel between those children and, you know, people, everyday people, and these charismatic leaders who mislead, you know, groups of people into doing heinous things. I'm really trying here.
Yeah, I see. I totally see the cult that they were trying to build with these children, and their cult leader happened to be green and glowy. You know, I see a lot of that. They were just, you know, 57 years earlier. We have a person that entered our contest and became a good member of the Captain's Quadrant. If wishes were horses, was almost as bad.
Was it though?
But which is the worst kid episode? This or Miri?
This.
Yeah, this is.
I will not be taking questions from the press at this time. It's this one.
Maury was worse.
Nope.
Whoop on the head.
Nope. I respect everyone's opinion, but you're wrong and you should be ashamed of yourself.
Is Michael going to need PSD for after this episode?
I'm going to have. There's more to this episode. I don't know when to bring it up, but.
All right.
A very big thing that I will bring up. Okay. I'm pretty sure most of you or none of you know. So
well, I think we all have the same thing, and it's probably the same things, but Jason, go ahead.
Oh my goodness. So why did they do this? So I think that they had a good idea. I just think the writing was just awful through and through. And usually whenever you have an amazing premise, it's ruined by bad writing. Plus, at this point, Star Trek's in its third season. Roddenberry's out. I think the network was kind of interfering and saying, hey, we need to get ratings. Let's throw some kids in there. Because Spock and kids, that will be amazing. Mm. And then, I don't know. Oh, gosh, look at those kids. Oh, just want to slap them. And then, of course, you got the Gorgon played by a rather infamous individual.
Yes, that's right.
An extremely infamous individual.
Yeah, this is what the chief told me.
Reading his biography, my only thought was, what the hell is he doing there?
Doing his best Liberace, that's for sure.
Yeah, so my short answer is, I got no idea. I got nothing.
You got nothing?
I got nothing.
I think we let me just get this out of the way. I think we have an opportunity, a moment in space and time where we see the powers that be beyond the stars, the ones that are, you know, making the contract, so to speak. What's going on, Jason? What are you looking
at? You said we were seeing beyond the stars, and I don't see that.
Quay, that's amazing. That was great. That was perfect. Yes, I think
mine's thicker.
So we've got a moment beyond the stars where people that really shouldn't be doing on-screen things coming on screen. And when you look back, I'm going to say this now, and I hope this isn't going to steal anybody's thunder, but the gentleman that was playing the evil villain was actually a lawyer. Right?
I hope he sued somebody over this.
Yes, he was the lawyer behind the scenes for the show, and I guess decided, you know what? I want to be on screen for a couple of minutes. And
in his defense, he did have a really good voice.
He did.
Honestly thought he was, I thought for a minute there, I was like, is that Ravenclaw? Is that the guy who did Tony the Tiger? Because that's what I thought he sounded like.
Come on, kids,
kill your parents. That'll be great.
The one thing that got to me was, isn't Spock supposed to be like twice or three times as strong as any human being?
Yes. I mentioned that to my wife.
When the script remembers, yes.
When the script remembers, because I was like, shouldn't Spock be throwing all these people around?
Okay, he's not doing this enough.
Back up. Okay. So you just mentioned our friend Melvin Bell. Melvin Belly, the Gorgon, who is also a lawyer. You're forgetting the most amazing thing about this individual.
What's that?
He defended Jack Ruby.
Oh, really?
A man who shot Lee Harvey Oswald.
Oh.
This was his defense attorney.
Holy.
Wow.
Here are some other people he has represented over the years. Mae West, Muhammad Ali, Jim and Tammy Faye Baker, Earl Flynn, Tony Curtis, Zsa Zsa Gabor, Chuck Berry, Nick Nolte, Lana Turner, and the Rolling Stones.
The Rolling Stones?
The Rolling Stones.
Wow, this guy, he should have just stayed as a lawyer. He's so much better at it than a Star Trek villain. Wow, that is incredible. This guy has an illustrious career before he even stepped foot on the set.
Yep. So, I mean, it's just, could you just imagine that? You know, somebody, okay, I don't know if you've ever seen the Texas Lawhawk commercials, that those over the top, you know, the Texas Lawhawk, and it's like this, this lawyer like breaking through things. I was on a jury a couple of years ago, and the defense attorney walks in, and I'm just sitting there looking at him like, where have I seen this guy before? It was the Texas Lawhawk. So I'm just imagining that, but with the Gorgon from Star Trek. Where have I seen this guy before? And then he turns, okay, children, follow me, and I will take you to the evidence. Oh, my God!
Oh, man.
You will find my client not guilty.
Well, India, I'm a lawyer, too. That was defending, you know, the crime of the century, right? It was only just a couple of years after JFK was killed, right?
Right.
Yeah. Who would have thought he would have played who would have thought that somebody who played one of the most dastardly villains on Star Trek would actually end up being something worse in real life? A lawyer.
Wow. A lawyer, yeah. So what is more villainous, an attorney at law or the Gorgon?
Hmm.
Both out for world domination.
One is manipulative, tries to control your mind, and is completely underhanded, and the other's an alien on Star Trek. I don't know. You got to tell me.
Yeah. I think it's now time to hop into another beloved episode favorite, our bumper for redeeming feature.
It looks like gold. Tastes like gold.
It is gold.
Now, this is going to be a tough one for some folks, but I have a ton of redeeming features, and especially Scotty, when I absolutely love when the kid in the back is like, he's really going the wrong way, too, because like all the other kids do it this way. He's like,
I know, he's just back here just.
Yeah, like, you're doing it wrong, buddy. But he's having a good old time, and I absolutely adore that. And I love the fact that they go, oh, Spock, show them the pictures. And it's video. It's like, you guys can say video. Like, we've got video of your colony. And who was recording? The Gorgon. I don't know. But
it was on a tripod. My favorite part of that video is whenever the kid goes to catch the football and runs outside the stage lights and just goes completely dark. I love that part.
Oh, wow. All right. So, redeeming features. We're going to start with Michael. If you could possibly
put him on the spot like that,
man, we love Michael.
Go for it, brother. Boy's hair was nice for once.
There you go. There's got to be more than that. Come on.
Scotty also had a nice haircut I've never seen him with.
Whoa. Come on. There you go. Is that it?
He's trying.
I am trying. There is still something that none of you have brought up that I don't think fits here, so I'll wait.
Oh. Okay. Jason, redeeming features.
Okay. So despite the many, 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 many shortcomings of this episode, one thing that I found very nice about it is that it's one of the few episodes of Star Trek that actually serves as an ensemble piece, because every single major member of the crew gets to do something. We've got a whole scene with Nurse Chapel. McCoy gets to do a lot. Spock, of course, and Kirk. Sulu's got some good acting scenes. Nichelle's got some good acting scenes. And even Walter Koenig probably has one of the most intense scenes out of the whole episode whenever he's holding Kirk at gunpoint. You know, I think that I honestly, whenever I was watching that, I was just thinking, wow, this is really intense.
Yeah.
You know, Kirk's sitting there telling him to stand down. He's like, I will not, sir. I'm going to stun you. James Doohan had some great scenes. I mean, it really was. It was not a great episode, but as far as everyone on the bridge having at least a minute or two to shine, they had it. And that's something that usually doesn't happen on this show.
Very true. Very true. David.
And Shatner's girdle was a top-notch shape. I pointed that out to somebody who's watching this with me. I was like, yeah, you can tell this is a girdle episode. And he was like, how can you tell? Oh, I can't unsee it now.
there's not too many redeeming qualities. Like, it's the 60s. They tried something, and maybe just, again, the writing wasn't there, and they didn't really have the technology to pull it off at the time. But I love James Doohan. He's probably one of my most favorite Star Trek actors. He had some banger moments in the original series. Scotty. I love Scotty.
Yeah. And he was really fit, but he did the cardinal sin that every good guy does to a bad guy. He throttled the bad guy, and he literally thought, oh, okay, I'm good. Everything's taken care of. No, dude, they're going to have a second, you know, chance, and they're going to come up, and they're going to try to get you. And sure enough, he got him, and then you got the kid in the background going, you know, for sure, he got him. Oh man, so much fun on this episode, though. If you look at it from a different perspective, lovingly as I do, there was a lot of other fun things that I thought that we really got into, and that was the way Shatner acted with the children. He just wanted to, you know, Kirk kick those kids so badly. Like, he
that expression is like me in class right there, just sitting there.
Oh, like, right, teacher.
Yes, and I teach this age level, and I'm Kirk wow. Right there.
If I could only kick one of these kids out of the way.
Of course, I would never kick one of my kids on purpose.
On purpose.
No, my kids aren't that bad. They're actually really good kids.
You're kind of hoping their parents aren't.
Well, I am going to take this opportunity to give us a quick break with something that is very special, near and dear to my heart, and I hope it will open your hearts as well.
Hi. Fuzzy Woolly Toes. He lives in a hobbit hole and everybody knows him. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins. He's only 3 feet tall. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins. The bravest little hobbit of them all. Now hobbits are peace-loving folks, you know. They're never in a hurry and they take things slowly.
Did you know that Leonard Nimoy had an album?
Yes. Released?
Yeah, you knew that?
Oh, yeah.
And
I have that on my Spotify, dude.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Who doesn't? That song's a banger.
It's actually really good, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
It's actually a really good song, and the whole video is actually quite fun. Of course, I couldn't play that without copyright issues, but that was a lot of fun seeing that song in a music video form. And I love the fact that he kept his Spock hair for it. Not the ears, but the hair. It was totally like cut.
Well, it's not like GTA. You can't go into a barbershop and say, give me 5 more inches. And, you know, it's just not going to happen.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Our buddy...
some guy is outside. He wants to do a song about Bilbo Baggins. What the hell's a Bilbo? Tell him to get lost, sir. It's Spock. Damn it. Okay, let him in.
Now, it looked like the same mountain range that Kirk fought the Gorn at.
Oh,
I know you've been there.
Vasquez Rocks. I don't know. Yeah. I'd have to look at it again, which we can't play again because of copyright. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe.
No, I'm not going to. I don't want to lose the stream over copyright. It's just YouTube going, nope, yank. And then Bilbo threw the ring of agony booth into the fiery pit of Mount Doom. Our buddy Geek Filter says hello, and he says, PSD treatment. Is that from Adobe? Yes. Yes.
$24.99 a month. You too can have your PTSD.
Yes. We got some love for the Shake Wave. Jason is not horrible, he's quite funny. So
I'm very horrible. I own it and I enjoy it. I wallow in it like a pig in mud.
Oh my goodness. And our good buddy Agent Pirate Bill, his acting was better than Shatner's in this episode. Now that is a moment of contention. Do you feel like Shatner was over Shatnering in this and the lawyer actually outshined as an actor? Anybody?
I don't even think Shatner was Shatnering. I just don't think he was doing anything.
I don't think he was trying very hard in this one.
Dude, like, I just felt like those pretty much everybody was just reading lines. Because I think, like, everyone's out of character, pretty much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That whole scene with Uhura.
Yeah.
Looking at the mirror that suddenly appeared on her console. Like, oh, I see my death. I see my death, Captain. You could just tell Nichelle just looked at her script. Was like, you want me to do what? You want me to say what?
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah. Are you going to pay me how much? Okay, I'll do it. Oh, yes. This is a great point from, this is like our aftermath. The summoning rhyme was poetic mastery.
I love the fact that he can be summoned with a recording of the poetry.
Yeah, you don't even need like kids to do it. Because
you know that Kirk put all of that stuff in his logs and sent it to Starfleet Command, and they're playing over their stuff, and then they're gonna accidentally play that recording, and the Gorgon's gonna show up like, who has summoned me? Where am I? We're at Starfleet headquarters. We have some questions for you. Oh crap! Put the muumuu down, sir.
What were you gonna say, Michael?
If it's played simultaneously in multiple places, what happens? Like, does he get ripped in pieces?
A foot ends up here, foot ends up here, a head ends up there. What we got didn't last.
I could have defeated him pretty well. It's like, no.
Oh, no.
Or does the muumuu appear somewhere and then the rest of them appear somewhere else?
The muumuu. Oh, my goodness.
I'm wondering if that's what he actually just wears in court.
Can you imagine? Sir, we're going to need you to wear a proper attire.
He shows up, the judge looks at him, and he just goes, well, one of us is going to have to change. So embarrassing showing up, and we're both wearing the same thing.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, man, I love these two comments from Bill here, the Asian Pirate. Shatner's heart wasn't in an ICR cancellation, Captain. And then this is another good point. What happens if you play the chant backwards?
He shows up in a headstand. The muumuu drops and you see more than
one. No.
What's going on? I can't see anything. The muumuu's over my head.
How close was this to the series finale?
What's that? How close is
How close was this? How close was this?
This is the fourth episode. Yeah. So
there's how many? There's what, 10?
No,
22.
This was pre-streaming. This is back whenever, you know, you had to watch them week by week.
Yeah.
So they had a long way to go before. Adios. There is some things that Jason wants to share with us.
Yes. I have to talk about one of the kids. I'm going to talk about, you're controlling the pictures. I want to talk about this kid right here. This adorable little fellow right here. You may not recognize him, but he actually holds a Star Trek record. He is the only actor to appear in the original Star Trek as a child. And next picture, Star Trek The Next Generation as an adult.
Wow. Cool.
This is Brian Toshi, and he has had a huge career. You may recognize him from such classics as Revenge of the Nerds. That's him? That is him, yes.
Oh, my God.
He's also a very prolific voice actor, doing voices for Scooby-Doo, Static Shock, the Batman Begins video game. Of course, my favorite of all, next picture, please. He played Leonardo in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Wow.
So,
Brian Toshi, if this episode can have a redeeming feature, it is that it gave this talented actor his start.
Nice.
Can I ruin that for a second?
Yes, go for it.
Did you guys by any chance look at his character name?
In the Star Trek episode?
In this episode.
It's Ray.
Ray what?
Ray.
No, his last name.
I don't know. It just says Ray here.
Okay, so when they're panning across the tombstones.
Oh, yeah.
All the different last names. His dad came up, and it was the last name, Tsing Tao. So his character is Ray Tsing Tao. Here's the thing. Tsing Tao is a Chinese beer.
Oh, yeah. I got really drunk off of it when I went to Asia.
And so I was like, there's no way in hell that he was named after beer. So I looked it up.
Okay.
Gene Roddenberry was way into Tsing Tao. He loves Tsing Tao.
Oh, wow.
So this kid, this Japanese actor,
has
a Chinese name
named
after
a beer.
Beer.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, Tsing Tao is not an actual name that we have in our culture.
Wow. So I got drunk off of beer that doesn't really have a name.
No. Like, the name is a name, but it's not a last name.
Oh, wow. So
you understand what I'm saying?
But yeah, now I got you.
Kid, it's like if you had a character named Bud and his last name is Light. Bud Light. I'm just saying. And right now I'm saying on the air that to honor this decision by Star Trek to name one of their Asian characters after a beer, I vow in my filmmaking, if I make another short film at some point in the future, that I will name a character Bud Light.
Yeah, we're here for it.
We'll avenge you.
Call me. I will come to Canada to play that part for you.
Bud Light. I remember just pausing it right there. I'm like screaming. I was like, no, 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 no. And I have to look it up. My wife's like, what are you doing? Why? I want this to be over. I need to look this up. No.
Wow.
And then I screamed at my phone. No.
Wow. This is probably the most enlightening Agony Booth episode we've had.
Buddy film where a person named Coors and a person named Bud, they're brothers, and it's like Coors Light and Buzz Light. Bud Light.
I love it.
The Light Brothers. There you go. And they're gonna go on an adventure and have hijinks and get drunk.
Yeah.
Off of Heineken or something. I don't know.
And they're all gonna have shake weights.
Let's throw in Tsing Tao just for the hell of it.
Yes. There's gonna be Tsing Tao everywhere.
I can't with this episode. Oh, man. I don't know if I want to be offended or amused. I can't decide. I cannot, as a Chinese person, I cannot decide. Do you know how hard this is for me?
What? What's up, Cozy? Good to see you, my friend. Really, though?
Gosh, we've blown everybody's mind.
Yeah, this is amazing. This is what you come here for here in the Agony Booth. To all the Bud Lights out there, I apologize on behalf of this crew. And then and I said, can I play the cousin Miller Lights?
Oh, yes.
We can have that annoying nephew, Zima.
Oh, wow. Go with the Fenders.
Go away, Zima!
Well, we're going to bring back a classic part of the Agony Booth, and that is none other than
it's time for stupid Star Trek questions.
Yes, the amazing episodes bring you the amazing questions from the fandom. You can reach out to us at Captain's Quadrant on Instagram, Threads. No, I'm not on TikTok, but and Twitter or X or whatever you call it these days, whatever you kids call it. And we've got a fun one from CM Wheel. Wheel, why is gravity the same on every single planet? I actually love that question. We'll start with Jason. Why is gravity the same on every planet?
How do we know it is?
Because they're not floating.
That's okay. How. So, okay. I don't know. I'm assuming that class M also, you know, includes gravity. We know for a fact Vulcan's gravitational pull is higher than Earth's. They say that out loud. I'm just assuming that Starfleet folks just gotten to a point they don't complain about it. You know, they beam down, they go, and then they're okay.
Oh,
you know, man. They may drop a load in their pants at first because of the shock, but then they're just like, get me a new pair of pants and let's continue the mission.
I love how this went back to poop. We've been avoiding poop questions and you brought
know
it.
I'm going to bring it back to poop. I can't help myself. There's also, you know, those episodes where, like, especially in the Kelvin universe, where like Kirk or Spock leap over just impossible distances.
Yes.
Because the gravity's lower. There you go.
Oh, there you go.
They are just assuming that we as the audience are smart enough to recognize this.
All right. David Jones, what do you think?
Yeah, I guess in the 60s, they didn't really have the budget or didn't really care back then, right? It's the same with my episode of Stranger Worlds. We're on that Klingon moon.
Yeah, come on. You were on another planet. You didn't notice the gravity change, Michael?
I'm going to just BS and say that just like how we have universal translators, we have universal gravitators to make it so that everyone is acting as if they're on a gravity they're used to.
Okay, I like that one.
I don't know.
There you go. Nobody brings a red sun with them to kind of balance. This is deep cut Superman. We have a pretty good answer in the comment section. We have two. We've got Shatner only wears the girdle on the higher G planets, so when the gravity's higher, he's going to put the well done. Well done, Bill. Well done, Bill. And then Ernesto says, budget. They can only go to the planets with the same gravity. Otherwise, it is too much. Now, again, if you have a stupid Star Trek question, be sure to reach us out in all the social medias. That is the Captain's Quadrant on Instagram and Threads. Blue Sky and all those new social medias, except for Hive. I never got into it. So you can reach out to us and leave a question. We will feature it on the show. We'll be in the Agony Booth for some time. We're going to have other special guests. So if you want to throw a question at us, now is the time.
Join us next week for more stupid Star Trek questions.
Yes, one fantastic moment begets another fantastic moment on this episode of the Agony Booth. All right, so big thanks again to David Jones and Michael Chen. Is there any information that you can give us on some upcoming projects that you can say without messing up your NDAs? They're filming more Star Trek.
I can say that my YTV show, Popularity Papers, is currently on hiatus for new episodes, but we continue to have, we're rerunning all like already released episodes. So we've released half of our 26 episodes, and you heard that right. We filmed 26 episodes for our first season. Because BBC and Chorus Entertainment
truly believes in our show, so gave us a like old school late 90s, early 2000s amount of money to make episodes. Wow. And so, yeah, we've released half of our episodes, and we are probably coming back next month with new episodes. This we tend to follow the school year, but we want to make sure that the remaining half of our season's able to finish with the end of the school year, right? So, yeah, we're doing well. So we are on YTV every Monday, 6 p.m. If you want to watch some of those episodes. If you have streaming, if you have Amazon Prime, we're on a subscription service called Stack TV, which encompasses like basically everything Chorus Media has, and it's on demand and live television on there. So we all the episodes we've released are also available to stream at any time on Stack TV. The great news is for a Canadian show to get distribution outside of Canada is very hard, especially last year of all the strikes. But Nickelodeon International, thank you very much for picking us up. We are currently also available in Italy, in the UK, and Ireland, and Australia.
Oh, so do you get to voice over your own voice for those other countries?
Or is it just so from my understanding right now, only we're original voices in Australia, UK, and Ireland, but we have voice actors voicing us in Italy because none of us speak Italian. I haven't actually heard my own voice because none of their commercials currently show my character, but I've heard the voice actors who play our two lead girls, and they're very good. So I keep asking people, like, if anyone could like find a way for me to watch Italian Nickelodeon, I want to hear if they give my character a Chinese accent in Italian.
Wow.
Wow. That is amazing. And congratulations on all your success. I'm so happy for you. You're a genuinely amazing person. One of the first people that we've interviewed on Section 31 and a half. And one of the later people that we've interviewed in Section 31 and a half. David, what is going on in your realm? What can we expect the unexpected places to find you that you can say without ruining an NDA?
I have no idea. I have no idea what you're talking about.
All right. So just be on the lookout. Just make sure.
Guys, watch him in Thanksgiving. David, come on, man.
Yeah. Thanksgiving. Yeah.
Thanksgiving. Yeah.
Amazon Prime, please rent it. Let me come back for the sequel, please.
Yes. Yes.
Give me a good death scene too, please. If I'm going to be in a horror movie, I would have liked a great death scene. And hopefully if there's, you know, if the sequel ever comes back to Canada,
that'd be a lot of fun. I'm going to go, I know that guy whose head is rolling down the street over there.
Ah, look at that. Oh, hey, that was David.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, there's some David over there and David over there. I guess somebody played that song in multiple places at the same time and separated David. Well,
I have seen popularity papers, though. Mikey did a great job.
Oh, there you go. Well done. Well done. This is so dope. And of course, we cannot leave the agony booth without spinning the wheel of agony. All right. So that wheel is going to come up at any minute. Any minute that wheel is just going to come and focus.
This is enrapturing. This is just the most interesting part of the podcast so far.
Yes, yes. When the wheel just
you know the episode's bad when even the wheel of agony doesn't want to show up for it.
You know what, guys? I'm out. I
can be worse than this episode.
Oh, it can be.
Can hell.
Oh yeah, it totally can be. That's the magic of the wheel of agony. There we go.
All right,
we are ready. We have wheel.
Yeah. Yes, wheel. And I notice. And the children shall lead is still on there. If that comes up on the wheel again, I quit.
All right. You guys are getting behind the scenes here, and we will delete that, and we'll put. Let's see. Genesis.
I
love Genesis.
Really?
It's fun. I like it. It's a fun monster movie episode.
Yeah. Very silly.
And I'm sorry, Gates McFadden did an amazing job directing it.
Yeah, she did. Yeah. She killed it. All right, here we go. We are spinning the Wheel of Agony. What are we going to watch?
Oh,
an ecstasy booth. Wow. Next week will be ecstasy booth, folks. Wow. You guys missed it by one episode.
Just.
What happened? What happened?
So what happens in this?
Masterpiece.
Great episode.
When the wheel spins a blue episode, it's no longer an agony booth. It's the ecstasy booth. Where we're watching a great episode of a past Star Trek series, and that is Deep Space Nine in the Pale Moonlight.
Ironically, the Ecstasy Booth was also the name of a hotel in Japan that charged by the hour.
Wow, I just learned.
Experience?
Yeah.
As far as I know, yes.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. So much sharing today.
They do have hotels that charge by the hour, though. They do. I've seen them.
Oh,
I'm on the outside. On the outside. Look it up.
They need to go back to the split 26 episode seasons, though. It would be good. All right. Thank you guys so much for joining us in the Agony Booth. It was so much fun. I haven't laughed this much since a week ago. So I really appreciate it. I don't get
that's not a compliment.
That's a great compliment.
It started out as a compliment and then it just became like this passive aggressive slap in the face.
No. It's I've got a lot. I'm stressed out. So this has been great. I appreciate every laugh and every belly chuckle. I just want to go and spin around and say, please be sure to check out all of us on the socials. You guys are all on Twitter. Jason Roy Gaston is Jason Roy Gaston. I am the man behind the tweets on the Captain's Quadrant. So if you're tweeting to the Captain's Quadrant, you're tweeting me. So come say hi. Michael Chan, are you just Michael Chan on? Or is it?
Well, it's Michael C.W. Chan.
Michael C.W., like the channel. That's amazing. So be sure to follow Michael.
If you actually read my interview that just came out in Canvas Rebel Magazine, you'll know why it's Michael C.W. Chan.
Amazing. I'll be doing that. David, where can they find you on the socials?
Big Guy 86.
Big Guy 86. All right. On all the fun socials.
And hotel that charged by the hour.
of course.
$6 an hour.
Of course, we want to give our shout outs right now. And that's going to go pretty quickly, as fast as I possibly can. First of all, our badge maker, the amazing Shamel Corporation, did our amazing badges that we are wearing right now. I swear to God. And he does such a fantastic job. So be sure to check him out. Be sure every Tuesday at 8 p.m., except for last week, to check out the Console World podcast where we talk about Doctor Who. And right now we're getting into the first regenerations, the first appearances of the next Doctors. We just did the fifth Doctor, Peter Davison. Yes, so a lot of fun there. Be sure to visit our friends Encapsulated International, where you can get Star Trek minis and all your favorite Star Trek things printed in 3D. They are an amazing company that is out in the good old UK, and supporting them supports us. You can use the code Captain's Q for 10% off. Check out Bot Culture Spread. That's where our producer that makes all these fun bumpers comes at you every week to talk about movie and streaming news. Friday nights, 6:30 p.m. in the USA, Eastern Standard Time, and of course, Saturday at 9 a.m. South Australia time, which I assume is what SA means. Be sure to check out our friends, the Sci-Fi Queens, as they talk about all fun things in the world of sci-fi for women and actual science. And of course, my co-host, be sure to check out the Jason Roy Gaston channel, who needs no shout out. Have you hit your 10 million subscribers now, right? Or something like that?
Yeah. Well, it was 10 million. Now we're up about 250 billion. So we're doing wow. Come check it out. I just did a 25-minute retrospective and analysis of the Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift because I hate myself.
And if you are a fan of the other Star franchise, and that would be Star Wars, check out the Scarif podcast. Oh, that's Scuttlebutt on the
Red
Network. Yes, they are good people. I believe you were on that podcast, David, right?
Yep, yes, I was. I will be actually on Saturday.
Oh, there Woo! You go. So be sure to check that out. They're good friends of the pod. So that is going to wrap it up for this amazing episode of the Agony Booth. Again, thank you, everybody. You can put away your moo-moos. We had a great time. We can go back to our normal lives. We can live long and prosper, and we will see you next week.
You are not allowed to go back to your normal lives. You will obey me, the Gorgon.
God.
Jack Ruby was innocent. She's crying because Shatner's squeezing her too hard.